This recording is being made in the home of Mr. Rupert Minnett, 28 Creeler Road, Cremorne, on the 21st of February 1972. We have present in the room Mr. and Mrs. Minnett, Mr. George Sayers, and Mrs. Hart and L.M. Jameson of the school staff. Now, George, the first question I'd like to ask is, what can you remember about Merlin Street when you were first coming to shore?
I went to shore from Merlin Street.
Was there any? Was it a very closely populated area at the time?
Sparsely.
And would you say that your home was a big home? Did you employ domestic staff, or did your mother?
Three domestic staff, two women and a gardener. And it was 2 acres of land.
2 acres of land. In our bursar's office, we have a large photograph taken from a balloon which went up at Lady Hay about 1902 at a fete. And it showed all that area over there, and it seems to have been practically bushland. Can you remember it like that?
Part of the property adjoining my father's home, I would say approximately an acre was bushland.
And what do you recall about the neighbours? Were they mostly professional people, middle class, or what sort of work would they have been doing?
Well, I think they're what you call the upper middle class.
Upper middle class. Yes, that's right. Now, what about the view of the harbour? Rupert, would you like to come in on this? What can you remember really about the harbour view from the North Shore at the turn of the century?
Well, I remember the harbour well then, George had a better view of the harbour than I had, and my father asked me to build a little room at the end of our house in Merlin Street so as he could see the ships coming in and out of the harbour. And that room's still there in an old house.
And a fair proportion of the ships would have been sailing ships?
Oh, yes, or both. Not so many sailing ships, but there were quite a few. But I would say half and half, 50-50.
And pleasure boats on the harbour at the weekend were still very popular. There was a lot of sailing at that time, wasn't there?
Oh, yes, quite a lot.
Now, when you went into town, did you go from to Milton's Point or McMahon's Point and get a ferry? Supposing you had to go to town for a dental appointment, how would you have got there then? Either of you.
By ferry from Milton Point.
How did you reach Milton's Point, though?
By either walked or by cable train.
Yes, I've seen the pictures of the cable tram in the North Sydney history. They couldn't have been very comfortable to ride in.
Oh,
the front seats were beautiful.
Were they? What would it cost you by fare, to get from Neutral Bay to... Do you remember? Or was that...
From Red Street to Milton Point used to be a penny.
A penny? Yes. You can't buy anything for a penny now.
And it was a penny across in the ferry.
That's correct.
Only a penny in the ferry. And did you schoolboys get into strife on the ferry by mucking up or getting chased around by the crew?
We didn't.
No, you were frightened there because you were shore boys.
That's quite right.
All right, now, when do you recall having seen a petrol-driven vehicle for the first time?
Can I?
Yes, come in.
No, I can't remember it when the time, but I also cannot remember a tramway going to McMahon's Point.
Not McMahon's, it was Blues Point?
No,
Milson's Point. Milson's Point. Oh, I must be in error there, I must check that up. Right, now, how about...
It turned around the corner,
yes, that's right, turned around the corner below the school.
Ah, yes.
No, Mount Street and Walker Street.
And would you have come to school on the tram normally?
Walked.
You walked sometimes.
You mostly walked. And that would have been a distance of, what, a mile and a half? You don't find young men can walk a mile and a half these days.
I got most of my training from running from Bridge Street to home.
Well, no wonder we had good teams in those days.
That's right.
All right, now, can you remember at what time of the day school commenced? Was it 9 o'clock in the morning?
Me or George?
Well, either.
I don't know.
9 o'clock, I think.
Nine o'clock.
I think it was 9 or 9:15, I'm not sure. Yeah. Prayers first.
Where did you have the prayers? In the prep
room? In the
hall. In the hall.
In the old hall.
The old hall with the big gas brackets above it and the honour boards at the end.
That's it.
Yeah.
I agree with those remarks.
Yeah. We'd like to know where those honour boards went. I think LCR can probably tell us.
You can't. LCR, he won't tell us now.
No, but he could have. Now, when you had an assembly in the morning or prayers, what did you have for music? Did somebody play a piano or?
We had an organ, George, didn't we?
Yes.
Yes, who was the old cove? Not Walmsley then.
Wasn't Langhans, was it?
I don't know.
Burnside.
Burnside, yes.
He played the piano
or
the organ for you.
Burnside played the piano and the organ.
And would you say the boys really sang or not?
They did sing.
They did
beautifully.
Sing.
Very well, indeed.
Very good. Very good. What's a new thing here, George?
One remark I made.
Good. Well, now, into what form did you first go, Rupert?
Oh, I forget now.
Well, Clem Tiny told me he went into Remove B in 1901, and that when he was there were boys about 3 years older than he was in the same form. Now,
look, Jimmy, I couldn't really tell you.
No.
That form.
Well, it's a long way back, isn't it?
If you see, I was 1907. I went, wasn't I? 1897.
Same as
that. I was 13 years
old. Yes. Well, it probably would have been third form or first form or whatever they called
it. I think I was in Remove one time, I know. I don't know which Remove it was, though.
Yes. Good. Now, can you remember who was your form master?
Baker.
Bull Baker. He sang well, I believe,
Bull
didn't
Baker
he?
Baker was quite right.
I believe he was the steward in the choir and at school concerts.
I was in the same class at the same time at the same age as Rupert.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you ought to tell him. Two witnesses according to the Bible have got to be believed.
Too, didn't we? We had our chops.
Oh, yes, but he was a steward. Oh, Bull was a very
You've got no recollection now, I suppose, of how many periods you'd have during the day or how the day was divided up?
Oh, I forget. I think George, only two, weren't there, George?
I can't remember.
No, I'm not sure. Yeah. I would say. No, please don't ask me that, I forget.
No, well, that's all right. Now, have you got any recollections of what games you played at recess time or when you were out in the playground? Did you have any special kind of games you liked?
Cricket and football, nothing else.
No rounders?
No rounders, no.
No, just cricket and football on the school ground.
It might be practicing fielding or kicking.
Yeah.
But no other games but cricket and football.
And this, of course, was on the school ground.
Yeah. There was no tennis played.
No tennis.
No, that's right.
And the school ground, of course, in those days wouldn't have been bricked up the way it is now.
Oh.
And I take it the surface was probably pretty rough, wasn't it?
Very rough.
Mm.
Very rough.
Do you know what I think we ought to do? All right.
What road outside?
Now, did you have a sergeant major that used to keep his eye on you as far as behaviour is concerned? Does that sound funny?
Yeah. How old am
I? Mackay.
Mackay.
Yes.
Like this.
I see. And he wore the blue uniform that's been standard ever since?
No, he didn't at the start. No, he was just ordinary. Just ordinary clothes. And he lived across the other end of the ground.
Now, there were some old cottages down there where the carpenter shop is that had been pulled down. I think he must have lived in one of those.
No, well, not at first.
No.
He lived along near the, almost where the tennis courts are where the tennis courts are at the next to the Roman Catholic place.
Yeah.
Right across the ground.
Oh, yeah.
In the northwest corner.
No, that's it, the northwest corner.
In the northwest corner. Good, that's fine.
And we used to watch him coming across, and he just waddled across the ground to his work.
And why were you so anxious to watch him? Does he have rather an eagle eye on you young people that muck up?
He was a funny old chap, but he was all right in the long run.
In the long run. Now, did you have a tuck shop?
No, we didn't, George.
No.
Then. No.
No tuck shop. What did you do about your lunch then? You always bought it from home?
We used to buy it from home, and sometimes we'd have it at the school. We'd have to pay for it.
Oh, yeah, it was in the dining hall.
Dining hall.
Yeah. Now, would you say that the little boys got bullied at all in your day when they were young?
I don't think so.
I'm with you, George. They weren't.
The attitude on the whole of big boys to small boys was pretty good.
Very good.
Oh, that's fine.
Very good.
And approximately how many prefects would you have had appointed to keep tab on you, say, about 1900?
Oh, I suppose, what, 7 or 8, George?
Well, I can't really remember.
Neither can I.
No, well, that's understandable. Now, one thing I'm trying to track down is the use of the school song. Do you recall it ever being used at concerts or functions?
Yes.
Very often?
Not very often, but several times.
Several times, yeah. You remember Miss Robson, I take it?
Very well.
Yeah.
Very well.
Lindsay Clark once gave me some archives. And in it was a little invitation card which Miss Robson used to give to boys to come to afternoon tea parties.
That's right.
Do you remember those, or did you ever go?
I went to one.
Did you really?
Yeah. I can't remember.
You can't recall?
I remember one.
She must have been a very outstanding person.
She was. And E.I. was a wonderful man himself, too.
Well, now, I'd be very glad if you could give me any detail at all about E.I., because we don't know a great deal about him. I've read Professor Holmes' book with a fair bit of detail about him. He was apparently a great admirer. But what do you recall about him most?
His outstanding feature in sports was that he was a wonderful coach for rowing.
Oh, no, you're thinking of the other Robson.
No.
You think of Lennon.
No.
Aren't you?
No.
E.I., I beg your pardon. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It was E.I. that really founded the rowing tradition
That's
in the school.
Correct. Yeah. That's correct. I'm sorry.
I don't know, he must have rowed for his college at the University in England, and I think he started it.
He made it.
That's right, I remember now.
Oh, undoubtedly too. Now, he started a number of things which still exist in the school, like the pink card and the come and go book, as we call it, and various other things are still in the school now because E.I. started them. Do you remember getting pink cards at school?
Yes.
Yeah. And he came round himself and gave them to you personally?
No, the Sergeant Major only gave them to
me. Sergeant Major did. Oh, good. Now, the staff that I've mentioned there, Hodges and Baker and Hall and Sonny Harm and Dixon and Linton, now, everybody that I've ever spoken to, had a great admiration for Mr. Linton. I believe he was a particularly fine gentleman.
They were all the ones you've mentioned, the wonderful gentlemen.
Yeah. Mm.
Did you remember Woodcock, who was at school about 1904?
No.
I used to call him Splinter.
I remember the name and that's all.
Yeah, well, he went to America, and he used to send me money when I was in the prep school to build library shelves and things. And he put up a memorial there to all these men that I've mentioned, a little shield that we put up. To recall the men who were there in his time. All right, now, did Walmsley coach you for cricket?
Yes.
Yes.
And how many teams would you have had?
Well, Hall did too, you know.
Who?
A.B. Hall did.
Hall.
Did too. And also, we had another man, Alec Bannerman, outside the school altogether. He coached us.
Oh, off Test cricket fame.
Test cricket, yes.
Yeah.
Bannerman coached us, that's all.
Oh, that was after I left.
Oh, it might have been after you left, George.
Mm.
That's right, I'm sorry.
Mm.
It was the late year, the last year, I think, that I was there.
Prior to that, we had another man. I can't remember.
Sid Redgrave.
No. He was, he put me. I can't remember. He's about a long way back.
Now, what about the relationships between staff and boys? Now, did the staff always wear gowns and mortarboards when they taught, or they did they ever wear
yes.
mortarboards at all?
Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely.
All the time.
Yes,
gowns. Yes, that's going to be pretty hot these days. I suppose it must have been there. Yes.
Is it possible to switch it?
How do I turn it off?
Now, George, let's have that again. When you were a prefect, you made a suggestion about colours.
I made
a
suggestion about, in order to distinguish the prefects from those who are not prefects, I suggested the colours were eliminated and a mitre used on the cap instead.
Well, to a certain extent, of course, this is still maintained, only we don't use the mitre anymore, we use the school badge. But the prefect wears the special hat band, which would be the equivalent of it in our present time. That's a good point worth remembering, my word.
Now, well, I think the one you did was the mitre. Was it the same one they were in there?
Well, I don't I can't say. I couldn't tell you, but I know that I called it the mitre anyway.
Now, what did you do apart from football, cricket, and rowing for extracurricular activities? You had cadets, they didn't start until 1910, I don't think.
Well, I think the answer to that is there were so few boys. In the time that Rupert and I were there, there were only 96 boys in the school.
Mm.
And you were, as I think I wrote once, if you weighed between 10 and 11 stone, you played in the first football team, whether you liked it or not.
Some had honours thrust upon them.
Yes.
No, good. All right, well now, how often did you train as the first 15 and the first 11? Did you train twice a week or...?
Well, I think again the answer to that is people walked a lot more in those days than they do to present day.
Quite.
And you were always in pretty good nick.
Yeah. But what about net practice?
How often did you have? Yes,
we had net practice.
Twice a week?
And on the school ground, twice a week.
And a professional bowler.
And when a professional bowler?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Good. Now, when you against whom did you play on a Saturday? Did you play most of your matches on a Saturday?
Yes, well, we had a Wednesday match occasionally.
Yeah, against whom?
But what are you talking about, football or cricket?
Well, either.
Cricket. University Vets and Isingarees.
Yeah.
They were going in those days.
That's right. Yeah,
and they still are. Mm. Yes. Oh, well, that was good. Now, supposing you had to play in Newington, did you have worries about getting out to Newington when you were playing away?
The two of us were deputed in turns at the time to carry the bag with all the gear in.
That's right. You know, the big bag.
But you went by ferry to Circular Quay and then by tram?
I went by ferry to Circular Quay and by wherever it was, train or whatever it was.
Train or tram, no motor car.
No motor transport. It could have used quite a big proportion of your Saturday getting to the ground and getting home again. My word. All right.
Can I mention something about Newington when you mentioned?
Do, by all means.
Things we used to love in the times we went to Newington, excuse me, was to go there and they had a swimming pool. And we used to look forward to our match at Newington because we'd get a swim.
And it's
remember that, George?
And it's taken us till 1971 or so to get a swimming pool at shore. All right. Well, now, you only had 90-odd boys in the school. That would mean perhaps, only a first and second in football and cricket, or only a first?
I think we had first, second and thirds.
Did you really?
Yeah. I have an idea.
Now, I've got one point down there. They actually gave caps, didn't they, to the boys that were in the 15?
Yes.
Now, when would they wear them? Just going to the match and so forth? Or would they not wear them at all? Do you remember much about it, Richard?
At the matches.
At the matches?
At the matches, yes.
And you left them in the charge of your girlfriend while you went on?
Straw hats otherwise.
Yes.
That's right.
I see. And what about...
They got wrecked, those straw hats, too.
What, did you have trouble with boaters in your day, too?
Oh, the kids used to knock them to billy-ho.
Did they really?
You'd hang them up in the hooks outside the Sergeant Major's office, and when you came down after us to get your hat, well, very often there were a couple of holes in it, or the rim torn off.
That's what we call pegging today.
Yeah, but it was all done in good fun.
Yes, well, the headmaster thinks rather differently about it these days. He takes a very serious view of boys who peg them. Of course, they're very valuable. What did you pay for a straw hat nowadays?
What about a couple of bob, wasn't it?
A couple of bob?
Something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was cheap, I know.
Something like $5 now.
Yeah.
Seven, is it? All right, well now, boys use the expression going down shore if they want to go down to the shops to get their lunch, or a boarder will come to you, sir, and can I have shore leave, sir, or can I go down shore?
That's right.
Did you use that expression in your day, too?
The district, the whole district was known as shore.
That's right.
And going down shore meant going to the shop.
Going down to Walker Street, that's the main thing.
Yeah. Now, were you allowed down there at lunchtime?
Yes.
And what was your main idea in going, just to look at the shops or buy your lunch?
Sometimes we go down and buy our lunch there.
Joy.
I didn't get that one. What was it? Meeting the Monte San Angelo girls.
Might have been too.
I wouldn't be surprised. All right. Now, what about disciplinary system at school? Did they have drills for minor offences if you mucked up in the classroom?
Drills on Saturday mornings.
Drills on Saturday mornings. Yeah. How long did your drill last and what did it consist of?
Oh, the drill only consisted of about 10 minutes, usually.
10 minutes?
About that. That's in the early times.
Yeah.
It got longer later.
It certainly did.
Yeah.
Yes, it's
a small drill when old Sergeant Major Mackay was there.
Yeah.
I was kept in during a time I should have been practicing cricket to play noughts and crosses and all the waste paper that was in the waste paper basket.
Just what had you done to do that?
Oh, they were funny.
I bet you cheek took Davies.
With a fellow known well to all the old boys as Kike Simpson from Burundi.
Yeah. Do you remember much about Davies?
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
One time in his classroom, if I may be mentioned saying this, there's a man there named Chart Abraham. Old Chart, you remember Chart, George?
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow, old Chart started talking a lot, and poor old Taft Davies got up, he was on the rostrum part, and he says, "Abrams, you're a silly fool, that's what you are. You're talking too much." I remember that well.
Yeah. Oh, he seems to be in a very vital character.
He was a wonderful man.
He was a charming old man and very fond of fishing.
Was he?
He never knew what he'd say next. And on a trip back from London, after I left school, I bought him a fishing rod, and the first thing he said, "What do you pay for it?"
He was a dear old chap. Dear old chap.
How did he get on about your supplies that a boy would have used, like stationery? Did you have a bookshop in the school, or did the Sergeant Major sell you?
Sergeant Major had it in his office.
And did you have to pay for your own pens and pencils and exercise books and things?
Oh,
perhaps that's a hard one to remember.
I don't remember that.
No. Oh, we can forget that. Now, what about school blazers? Did you wear blazers for cricket?
Yes.
And you had a badge on the pocket and so on?
Yes.
Was any restriction ever placed on where they could be worn or how often?
On the left-hand pocket.
No, I mean the actual wearing of the blazer itself.
Oh, be fun. No restriction, I don't think so, no.
I don't think so.
Not at all. A lot of them used to wear them for flashness, I remember that.
Yeah, so well, that's been discounted
for
a long time.
When they had first 11 on, they used to wear them to the school, not to the school, but at the school sometimes, just for flashness.
Is that so? Mm. I'm very interested to hear that because we've done our best to keep that in place ever since. I know Elsie Robson was very particular that blazers be worn only to the match.
Right, right. Only to the match.
Up the river on the occasion and so on. All right, now, old boys sometimes talk about the cry would go up in the playground, mill on, and there'd be a fight at lunchtime and so on. Do you remember many notorious fights
there
at school?
There weren't a great many fights.
No. They haven't been since I've been
and
at school either.
They were always held behind the lavatory on the west, on the east side of the playground.
Is that so?
and someone acted as a cockatoo in case a master was coming along.
I see.
In that case, that's the only time they were stopped.
It seems to me that the humanity hasn't altered a great deal.
And the three chief transgressor on those days was a man named L.G. Mernon.
Oh, yes. Was he
right?
Liz, yeah.
You remember him?
He was a real brute, was he?
He and Clive Terry.
Yeah.
Is that so?
They were the
they're both men.
Now, it says here, I've seen lots of old boy pictures where there's been a picnic up the harbour side somewhere or other with masters wearing boaters with straw hats on, you know, the band and perhaps a cummerbund with a shore diagonal on. Did masters and boys fraternise much out of class or out of school? Would you say there were good relationships between?
I would say there was excellent relationships.
Yeah, I think
you agree with me?
Yes, I think a lot of it at school was the fact that we were camped up there at rowing.
Yes.
And we were camped in a hotel up at in Glades. I think it was Glades, one of those. They'd have a picnic that masters that were there, Burnside and others, for the boys that were in camp.
Well,
I think that's where the photos came from.
I would say that still obtains to a large degree. The relationships in the rowing ship, or between boys and the staff, have always been very good.
And also between the schools.
Yes.
Sydney Grammar School especially, with Shaw, when I used to go up there, this was latter years, much latter years, and I used to go up there, that the fraternizing of Shaw and Grammar was wonderful.
Well, there's always been a very strong bond between the sheds of Riverview and Shaw, haven't
That's
they?
Right.
Yeah. They lent us a boat about 1902 right. or something or other, and we've never forgotten it.
Yeah,
all right, now, I don't want to tire you. I hope you're feeling tired. Do you like a break?
No, I'm not a bit tired.
You sure? How
about
you?
I'm a youngster.
Oh, I know that. Now, when you were at school, Federation would have taken place. Do you remember much about it as a schoolboy?
1900.
In 1900?
No.
I don't either.
Made no impression on you?
No impression at all.
What about the Boer War? Did you remember anything much about that? Mafeking night, for example.
No, I know there were a lot of celebrations, but that's all I remember.
I've only known one man whose name's on the Boer War list, and that was old Darvel Cater.
Yeah,
that's right.
He was living up at Scone, and I had a lot of time for Darvel.
So did I.
Oh, you're fine, man.
He's one of my oldest friends, Darvel and Charlie.
Charlie and Darvel, yes.
I don't think I knew Charlie.
Oh, Charlie. And but, Eric.
Darvel I had a lot of time for. All right, now...
You miss Queen Victoria.
Yes.
Well, I think that Queen Victoria stirred more of most of us, her death. You can remember that.
That's quite right. You're right there.
Yeah.
She was a very popular...
Well, it was the end of an age, wasn't it?
Yeah, and she was. And I can remember this day, the feeling that I heard she died.
Did the school have any sort of memorial service for her? Do you remember?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I can't remember.
I wouldn't remember.
I can recall very vividly the memorial services for George VI. Mm. But I could well imagine that it must have made a very deep impression on the social conscience generally throughout Sydney.
Well, I think the reigning monarch had more effect in those days.
Than now.
Than now.
Possibly, yeah.
Can I go back a bit?
Do.
There's one curve you mentioned, one gentleman teacher you mentioned on staff 26. You didn't mention a man named Jerry Sulman.
Sulman?
Sulman.
Sulman was the physics Chemist. Master.
I never heard of him.
Oh, well, look, he used to be just, oh, well, you wouldn't remember. You remember the old buildings? A lot to the right of the arch.
Yeah, well,
the old building.
I know where they were.
Right. Well, he was on the ground floor alongside the Sergeant Major's office. Yeah. And he had all sorts of different arrangements with his physics in there, and there was one bottle of very potent, horrible-smelling liquid. And the boys used to go in, and it would be turned off, and Jerry Sulman was up at his desk, and a boy would come in and turn this tap on, and the room would be terrible, the smell, awful. What do they call that? Oh, I forget, there's some name for it. And boys would say, like this, and poor old Jerry would do the same, and he'd walk straight down to the tap. Oh, he said, I must have left that tap on. And that happened three or four times in one day.
And he never tumbled to it.
Never tumbled.
I know, we all get like that
poor
after a while.
Oh, Jerry. But not many cats would remember Jerry Sulman. Yeah,
I remember where those laboratories were, because when I first came to the school, I was quartermaster, and I had my quartermaster store in the old labs, and you could still smell some pretty queer things in that room.
I forget the name of the stuff. It's a, what do they call it?
Oh, sulfuric acid.
It's something like that. Awful smell.
Dreadful.
Sorry to interrupt.
There was one name I didn't put down there. Was Elphinstone. I don't know whether you remember him.
I noticed you didn't put him down there. No. He was a very, very popular master.
Yes.
And a very fine gentleman.
Oh, well, that's good. It's nice to hear you speak so well about this man.
Oh, he was late at time, yes. He was late at time. He wasn't there when we were there to start with.
No.
But I saw a lot of him later.
Later on.
That's right.
Yes. Well, now, I'm getting near the end of my list. I don't know whether I'm getting near the end of the tape. I had a lot down here about cricket. Now, just about one of them. Surely you both must have seen Victor Trumper bat at some time or played against him. Would you like to say something about him, Rupert?
I say this without fear of contradiction, having played cricket since 1902, and I will say that the world's greatest batsman was Victor Trumper. You can have all your Don Bradmans. In fact, there are two or three more that I would have before Don Bradman. This won't be published in the paper, will it?
No.
But every, all the young coves that I've spoken to...